Dr. Cooper, during one of my most recent visits with you, we talked about how the Cooper Institute achieved the ranking of one of the best facilities in the world to receive a medical exam, and that it didn't happen overnight. The 40th anniversary of your 1968 best-selling book, Aerobics, reminds us of your launching a worldwide fitness movement and providing a unique aerobics point system for measuring progress toward maximal health. What other type of health quantification is helpful in the next generation of corporate health and wellness?
Not just exercise per se, you're right. It's quantifying the equipment, the technology that we're using. We're in the process of getting the MRI scanner we use for breast evaluations for cancer. It's called an Aurora. And it's strictly MRI for breast exam, putting that in our new clinic up at Craig Ranch. We're doing that. We have a full-time breast surgeon on our staff now. She's one of the finest in the country. And she does breast cancer surgery quite regularly, and we're having great results. We've had over 600 cases of breast cancer we've diagnosed here in the last 37 years. We have over 1,300 cases of prostate cancer we've diagnosed. We have over 100 cases of kidney cancer we've diagnosed, and over 250 cases of cancer of the lungs we picked up. And our survival rate's the highest in the country because we pick it up so early that we can cure them. It's been said that no one should ever die of cancer if you pick it up early enough. But the majority of cases, cancer causes no symptoms. You don't realize it until it's too late. And that's why cancer mortality is so high. But then getting back, why are all these things of so much value to the corporation, corporate executive? And I say in my presentation, you've heard me say this many times, is number one, it reduces the cost of health care. You can't expect a significant return on your investment the first 1 to 2 years. But after that, you start seeing a significant return. Reno, Nevada, I'm sure you've heard about the school program they had up there for their employees. And they found in a 6-year study, they found that for every $1 they invested in their worksite wellness program, about a $15 return, just reduction in absenteeism among their school teachers. So there's many examples like that of where they are finding, after a certain period of time, 2 to 3 years, that you can expect a reduction in the cost of health care. Number two, reduces absenteeism due to disease. And one thing we're very pleased with our vitamin product that we promote all the time because of very good results, published scientific literature, that if our people will take that Cooper Complete vitamin with or without iron, 4 tablets twice a day, we find the vast majority have a dramatic reduction in the frequency of respiratory infections and colds in the order of 77%, have either a reduction of frequency or none during the previous year. I can testify that for myself. I haven't had a bad cold in about 5 years. I travel the world all the time. I'm 77 years of age, as I mentioned. But I can't help but feel it's because our vitamin therapy does build up your immunity. A study done a few years ago by the Lewin Group out of Washington said that if every person over 65 years of age took a single vitamin capsule per day, it reduced the cost of Medicare $1.6 billion every 5 years because it reduces the problem with respiratory infections. So number two is reduction of absenteeism due to disease. Number three is increase in productivity. And one thing we're seeing in America now is a high incidence of presenteeism. And we find that people will come to work when they're sick, they've got a hangover, they have no sick leave, and they come and occupy a position all day, but they're totally non-productive. And number four, it helps you recruit the best person in the marketplace. Number five, reduces turnover. So I said that four and five, it helps you to recruit the best employees in the marketplace. I'm convinced of that just with the staff that we have here. Over the years, people have asked me why we've been so successful here, grown 2 offices, 2 employees, now there's 700 employees and 2 different locations, 30 physicians, operating budget about $65 million. Why we've been so successful? Number one, I say because of divine intervention, because of my beliefs and my faith. Number two is a fantastic staff. I really believe that. Number three, we've proven it's cheaper, more effective to maintain good health and regain it once it's lost. And number four, if people realize they have a need, you provide a service, get the results they want to make it successful in any field. The point is a fantastic staff. Now, number four, it helps you recruit the best employers in the marketplace by offering that employee plus their spouses membership in this fantastic center here and at Craig Ranch. Number five, reduces turnover among employees. So all these things that what's already done, it was by one of the companies down here, I forgot who it was a few years ago. Those employees who left the corporation for any reason over a period of time, only 19% were involved in their fitness wellness program. So the fitness wellness program does reduce turnover, too. So those five things, that's the bottom line. And that means that corporations either get involved in the worksite wellness program and see financially great benefits, productivity, all the various things. Now, you got a copy of the new book written by my son and myself. You'll find on page 10 the qualities of life related to measured levels of fitness. And you'll find why that people feel better, they have a better outlook on life, They have fewer musculoskeletal problems, greater sexual potency, and all these various things. And I think on page 10, those 12 qualities of life that we've looked at in 10,000 men and women and looked at their levels of fitness measured by time on the treadmill and found that perfect correlation between qualities of life and measured levels of fitness by time on the treadmill should blow your mind. All significant 0.001 level and all 36 blocks to direct in line. But said you can't get a machine to respond that well. So all those add up to making the statement true.
This book is Start Strong, Finish Strong by you and your son, Dr. Tyler Cooper.
That is correct.
I believe it also explains a unique gold standard annual medical examination that can pinpoint
exactly what
potential
just
health problems.
That's right.
And those are consistent with the health examinations that you've provided to so many people at the
That's
Cooper
correct.
Institute. Dr. Cooper, during a conversation with you during my recent health promotion director graduation from the Cooper Institute, you were originally among the only physicians who would allow patients to resume work and activities after a heart attack.
That's
Do
right.
you see similarly outdated areas of healthcare today that need to be innovated?
I was just contacted last week by a gentleman who specializes in rehab programs. He's a neurologist. He's building these rehab centers. Medicare and insurance will cover about 2 weeks of rehab after neurological problems or orthopedic problems. But what they found, that the person be sick as a problem, they put them in rehab, they get better, but then they discharge them, they get sick again for various and sundry reasons. But he thinks that we should combine with rehab wellness. And while those people are involved in that two-week program, we start teaching them how to eat right, how to control the stress in their life, how to use all the basic concepts that we talk about with our wellness and our preventive medicine programs, and even having a continuation of that once they discharge from the hospital. I think that's an area of medicine that has tremendous potential because so many millions of people are going through rehab, and that's only a quick fix. Lest they know what to do after that from an exercise standpoint, a weight loss standpoint, a nutrition standpoint, a supplementation standpoint, right back where they were in the beginning. So I think that's a new area of medicine that has really been ignored. It's going to explode in the future, too. But I would say, too, that as you're right, we've fought the system from day one. For example, when I first started seeing patients here in Dallas in 1970, I'd go before the Board of Censors because I was doing treadmill stress testing. They thought I was going to kill somebody with a treadmill. I've been doing it for 10 years in the Air Force. So I knew I could do it safely. I wasn't censored. My wrist wasn't slapped. The second person in town to have a treadmill for stress testing, the chairman of the Board of Censors. That was in 1970. 1972, I said it's safe for cardiac patients to run after having a heart attack. And boy, that was really heresy back in those days, as you'd imagine. And then later on, late 70s, we started doing mammographies. And they said you're going to cause more breast cancer than you actually diagnose. About that time, we started using the PSA to diagnose early prostate cancer. And they said there's too many false positives and false negatives. You're wasting your time and money. And now that's the standard for picking up early prostate cancer. Then we got into the ultrafast CAT scan business. And they said the radiation is so high, you're going to kill people. Shouldn't be done. And now that's the standard for both looking at coronary calcification as well as having CT angiographies. We even talked about the harmful effects of hormone replacement therapy back in that 70-80 time period. And the gynecologists and OBs were on my back. They said, well, you're going to destroy the quality of life of these women. And what did we find with the WHI study? We increased the risk of cancer of the breast. We increased risk of heart disease and dementia. All the things that we thought was going to be beneficial turned out to be wrong. And just this week, I saw in the press that women who were taking hormone replacement therapy came down with cancer of the breast. Once that was taken care of, they're more likely to have another occasion of breast cancer than women who have never taken hormone therapy. So we were predicting that back in the 70s and 80s, and I was criticized, and now it's mainstream. Going off the book, the Enoxaparin Revolution, and that occurred in the 80s and early 90s, and we found that the antioxidants are effective in treating free radicals. That's been controversial, but now it's coming mainstream again. The extent even I saw the beta-carotene in high levels for 18-year period has been shown to reduce the frequency of dementia. And they said beta-carotene increased the risk of cancer lung. I said, yes, and cigarette smokers have been smoking a pack and a half a day for 36 years, like the Finney study. Vitamin C, E, beta-carotene. Now looking at the big problem is ARMD, that's age-related macular degeneration. And we've been saying for years, lutein, zeaxanthin, and zinc are very important in preventing it and now in treating it. And now that's mainstream therapy all. Now the CT angiograms, we started that, and everybody's getting involved in that. So we've been blessed to be in a leadership position. Latest thing, of course, is getting vitamin D levels. And we have found 51% of our people have low vitamin Ds. And that relates, according to literature, to increased risk of cancer, the prostate cancer, the colon, and women cancer, the ovary cancer, the breast, and even osteoporosis directly related. As this gets low enough, it doubles the risk of heart disease. So all these things are cutting edge, leading things that we're doing. So I think we have been blessed, and I do think it's because, number one, divine intervention, that I've had the wisdom, quote-unquote, to go ahead and make these changes and lead the way in these areas, including, as you said, cardiac rehabilitation.
Dr. Cooper, a recent study by the Cooper Institute in the Obesity Journal found that fitness trumps fatness in determining risk of cancer death in men. Based upon this study and other landmark studies of yours, such as physical fitness and all-cause mortality, is being overweight a cause or an effect of poor health?
We know that being obese, the obese cell can act as a hormone producer. And we know without question that people who are overweight have a marked increased risk of cancer. And we're talking about cancer of the liver in men, cancer uterus in women, but even things like lymphoma, leukemia, things like that, according to a British study, are related to obesity. Now, can you negate that to some extent with having a person who's obese exercise? I would say the indications are there, but the final answer is not yet in. Our studies do clearly show that for all-risk mortality, though, you're better off being fat and fit than skinny and unfit. I didn't say skinny and sedentary, because that's what Harvard School of Public Health questioned us from the nurses' study. You're better off being fat than skinny and sedentary. You can't say that, because you can be fat and be fit. You can be skinny and unfit. But if you look at fitness, not activity by questionnaire, you get a whole different study. And that's why I still stand by what we've said over the past many years. You're better off being fat and fit than skinny and unfit as measured by time on the treadmill.
Dr. Cooper, as physician to the President of the United States, what perspective does that provide to you?
Well, I've heard him say more than once, I don't exercise from my heart, exercise from my head. And I ask him invariably the stress of his occupations. I've done for 19 years. Last time was August the 4th, 2007. And he made this statement again, I don't exercise from my heart, exercise from my head. And one of the most highly stressed men in the world, who would insist on exercising at least an hour six times per week, ranks in the top one percentile on the treadmill stress test for men 61 years of age. So he's been able to use exercise in a very effective way controlling the stress in his life.